One of the younger girls reads from the large Bible at the pulpit. She is a small thing, no more than 10, and she has a pronounced lisp which threatens to turn our prayers into giggles at any moment.
And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die.
Gemma, Anne whispers, I cannot possibly keep my appointment with Mr. Katz. What do you mean? I murmur from behind my Bible. A sudden cloud passes over her face, extinguishing her earlier joy. He thinks that I am Nan Washbrad. It's only a name. Lily Trimble changed hers. Cecily shushes me, and I do my very best to show I'm ignoring her. But what she said, your beauty speaks for itself. Don't you see? I am not that girl. It's one thing to create an illusion, but how do you live it forever?
For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil.
We shall be as God, Felicity mimics, and there is a sudden round of coughing in our pew to cover our snickers. Miss McCleathy cranes her head and narrows her eyes at us. We raise our Bibles as if we were a school of missionaries. My gaze travels to Mrs. Nightwing. She sits straight, eyes ahead, her expression as inscrutable as the Sphinx's. My thoughts turn to the letter hidden in her wardrobe. What warnings could Mrs. Nightwing have ignored? What plan? Suddenly, the words in my Bible blur, and the world once again slows to stillness. At the lectern, the girl's tortured recitation has stopped. The room is stifling. My skin crawls with sweat. Anne! Felicity! I call, but they belong to that other time. A syrupy hiss echoes in the chapel. Fee, I whisper, but she can't hear me. The hiss comes again, stronger, to the right. I turn slowly, my heartbeat gaining speed. My eyes travel the impossible distance from the floor to the stained glass window with the angel and the Gorgon's head. Oh, God! Panic has me scrambling backward, but the motionless girls block my path, so I can only gaze in horror as the window comes alive. Like a moment from the Wolfson Brothers' magic lantern show, the angel walks toward me with a severed Gorgon's head held aloft, and then the thing opens its eyes and speaks.
Beware the birth of May,
it hisses. With a loud yelp, I fall back, and the world comes to its full speed again. I've collided with Anne, who has bumped into Felicity and so on like a row of dominoes. Gemma, Anne says, and I realise I'm holding fast to her. Sorry, I say, wiping the sweat from my brow. Ugh, here. Felicity hands me a handkerchief. The pump's organ blast of missed notes calls us to sing, and I hope its garish tones can mask the frantic beating of my heart. Hymnals are lifted, and girlish voices rise without question of a bulwark never failing. My lips move, but I cannot sing. I'm trembling and drenched in a cold sweat. Don't look. But I must. I slide my eyes ever so carefully to the right, where moments ago an angel's bloody trophy hissed a warning I don't understand. But now the angel's face is peaceful. The Gorgon's head sleeps. It's only a picture in a window, nothing more than coloured glass.